welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we talk about Big Brother. Have we invited Big Brother into our homes? You remember 1984, and Big Brother monitored everything for good old Winston in the story. And it came out, what, in the 1930s? And it seems as if we may be entering into the scenario of Big Brother as presented by George Orwell in his 1984 classic. So have we entirely given up on the notion of privacy? That's the question on this edition of the program. Are we subjecting ourselves to the total control and manipulation of social planners, political manipulators, and all the rest? Well, we're going to talk about a new film out called The Creepy Line. And here's what Google knows about you. Google tracks your location history, keeps a log of everywhere you've been, where you've accessed their service. Google uses data you put in when you make your account, like work, education, hometown, gender, birthday. And many Google services require phone number, address, and more. Google uses click tracking to determine what's interesting to you. They track every click they can and use that to build a profile on you to determine your preferences and interests. Google offers a free analytics tool for webmasters that allows them to see your website traffic. Google knows everything you've ever searched for: car shopping, vacation planning, medical research. They know what you're looking for many times before even you do. And Google does not forget. Google introduces a free email service that's called Gmail, used by 44% of Americans. Incredible. Problem is, they're reading your emails. And that includes emails you send to other Gmail users, even if you don't use their service. Facebook's facial recognition algorithm knows what you look like and can find you in photos or videos uploaded to their site. And Facebook also uses data you put in when you create your account, like work, education, hometown, etc. Facebook shows you stories and ads based on things you've clicked on while using Facebook, and they share this data with advertisers. That, my friends, is creepy. Facebook knows who you are connected to and how they use the information to create lookalike models to predict how others like you think. And Facebook tracks your interactions with political content and scores you politically based on your engagements. And Facebook algorithms score you based on how likely you are to influence others. And recently, let slip also, they even consider your credibility. All right, so that's what Big Brother's doing via Facebook and Google. And so today we're going to visit an important new documentary film called The Creepy Line, just released. And the film director, Matthew Taylor, now joins us. Hi, Matthew. Good to have you with us today.
Hey there. It's great to be with you today.
Yeah. Now, The Creepy Line, just released in August, available on iTunes and Amazon. Where did the title to the film come from, Matthew?
The title, The Creepy Line, came from former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, in 2010, when he said the Google policy is to get right up to the creepy line, but not cross it. And we found that to be a very, very strange choice of words. I don't know anybody who wants to be near anything creepy besides Google, by self-admittance.
Yeah. What motivated you to produce a film like this? Obviously, it's something of a Big Brother thing. I'm not sure people recognize it, but you agree this is Big Brother in the house?
I do. I mean, I think that in a lot of ways, what Orwell and even the Brave New World had predicted is actually kind of soft compared to what it is now, because at least with 1984, you could see Big Brother, you could see the signs, and you could see the Big Brother's presence. This is a entity, a totalitarian entity, that you cannot see. They are shifting our opinions in all sorts of directions invisibly, so you don't even know they're there.
So they're sort of crawling into your head and manipulating your thoughts and your perspective. And they're not just watching you. They're impacting you. They're influencing you. They're changing your minds. They're trying to manipulate your perspectives on things. Is that correct?
Without a doubt. I mean, it's actually built into how the search engine works. It's built into how Facebook works. You know, I mean, we've always had advertising that wants to get you to buy the thing, get you to buy the car or the iPhone or things like that. Now what we have is we have a bunch of kind of subversive maneuvers built into the software, into the algorithm, that push our opinions in one way or another, again, without us knowing. See, with traditional advertising, you can see it and you can say, no, I don't want that, or yes, I do. With what they're doing, you don't even know they're doing it. And hence, you are making decisions in the direction they want you to make a decision without your awareness to it.
Matthew Taylor is director of the new film, The Creepy Line, just released and available for you to watch online. You know, Matthew, I wonder if people care about their privacy anymore. At one point, you know, people were concerned about freedom and they didn't really want Big Brother in their life. But it seems to me that people are willing to sacrifice that and give that up now. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, I think the thing is people don't know the extent of which these companies are operating as Big Brother. They do not present themselves as totalitarian. They don't present themselves as a huge overriding force that's trying to manipulate their customers. And let's be honest, their customers are actually the product, right? We are the product. So most people aren't aware of that. They say, oh, look, here's a search engine. It's free. Here's a free email. Here's Android. Here's a free social network that I can communicate with my mother, my cousin, and my friends. So the presentation is designed to pull us in, and the free services are not actually free. They do cost something. They cost your data. They cost your privacy. So I think a lot of people just aren't aware. And the problem is that because we have not been aware for over a decade now, these companies have moved into other sectors that make them much more of a threat to this country and countries around the world, whether it be government, law enforcement, and other places. So they have moved into many sectors now without us knowing, and it may be too late to pull back on some of their kind of invasive techniques.
Let's take this to the logical conclusion, which you're just doing. What's going to happen if they go down this track? Are we going to be subjecting ourselves to the totalitarian regimes that we saw with the Soviet Union, Communist China, and other gigantic totalitarian states in the 20th century?
Well, you know, in the film, we argue that what Google has done essentially is it's been able to take over massive parts of our society without having to send in stormtroopers, without having to send in the tanks, or without having to do any of the things that a typical 20th century regime would do. Because let's be honest, we all opted in, right? We all signed up. Mm-hmm. It is partially our activity. We are the gasoline that helps their engine go. Without our data and without our interaction, these services don't work. So whereas in the 20th century, you had regimes taking over by force, they actually figured out how to get us to sign up. And so this kind of relationship we have, we don't exactly know how it will pan out. We have glimpses of what the future might be like, but currently we are in uncharted territory for humanity as a whole.
Is your impression that those that govern Facebook and Google and these gigantic tech companies know what they're doing? Are these megalomaniacs that are just wanting to rule the world, or are they ruling the world by default? What's your take on that?
Well, you know, they're utopians. I mean, they have a vision of the world. I think that they don't want to do bad things, particularly. They want to do things. They want to create technologies that will better the world. According to their worldview. The problem is we don't know what their worldview is. We don't know if their worldview, includes all of us or excludes some of us. We have hints of their political leanings. We have hints of kind of what they want to do with censorship and other things like that. And so they are different than your 20th century corporation. They're different than Microsoft or Apple. They sell products. Again, we are the product. And any company that treats their customers like cattle to be bought and sold is a very concerning relationship to be in. You know, I don't feel like BMW or Honda is buying or selling me. You know, at least my interaction with them is completely above board. I know where I stand, even with Apple, even with Microsoft, Windows or something like that. With these companies, we are tied in and we can't get away. That's the big problem. You used to be able to step away from the technology. You used to be able to turn off the television and go outside or leave the office. Now your phone is with you all the time. You can't get anywhere without, being seen by a camera or being picked up by a microphone or something of the sort. So ultimately, you know, I think that, again, we have entered into a relationship of which we don't know where it's heading. We have an idea that it's probably not heading in a direction that is good for our society.
At another time in history, balanced minds would say power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so they're always a little unsure about the centralization of power. And certainly the founders of this nation didn't want a tremendous centralization of power under any particular organization or person or dictator or what have you. But now it seems like we're heading that direction by way of these corporate monopolies. Indeed, they are corporate monopolies. Somehow they've managed to collect a tremendous amount of control over the market. I think of Facebook and Google. What do they have? You know, 2, 3, 4 billion customers. This is a monopoly. Why can't we see something of a breakup of the monopoly? Why doesn't competition prevail in the high-tech market?
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the regulatory options that are available right now are, again, they're 20th century solutions for 20th century companies. The problem is that a company like Google is so entrenched in so many different places. Parts of the Pentagon, they sit on Google servers. They're in communication. You could have Android software operating your GPS in your car. So breaking a company up that has its fingers in so many things across so many parts of our economy, we actually don't know what that would do. So if you say, oh, let's break YouTube off or let's break search in half, it would take all of the services that I think have a lot of benefit, and it would make them all unusable. You know, and so we have to start from scratch from a society perspective and from a regulatory perspective and kind of analyze, what is the business model? If the business model is collecting your data, do you need a new business model? If you can't break them up or steer them or they can't govern themselves, we're going to have to basically start over and come up with 21st century solutions for these new kind of companies that are literally everywhere.
Let's talk about the political agenda for Facebook, Google, others. Why do you think the tech companies tend to bend left of center?
Well, you know, I think that there is a culture out in Silicon Valley in California that just tends to lean that way. I mean, again, I think that a lot of these people in these organizations are utopians, right? Mm-hmm. And so they see themselves as having the ability to change the world for good, right? And so what is their good? Well, that's the question. What is their good? And so in the political, you know, sense, they do lean a certain way. But the thing is that you don't want anybody with this kind of power to lean any way. It doesn't matter if you lean left or right. You don't want anybody who has unlimited ability to undermine democracy or shift people's votes to lean in any political direction whatsoever. And that's a big point we make in the film. You know, we think that anybody with this kind of power can be dangerous, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. They happen to be on this side of the aisle, the left side of the aisle. But even if you had that power lean towards the right side of the aisle, I don't think it would be good for our democratic society.
Matthew, over years and years, I think we've always said the media has manipulated the masses via television or what have you. Do you think that this is different? Are we playing a different game now with Facebook and Google? Are they more powerful in their manipulation than the media was in the 1960s, 70s, 80s?
Absolutely. Because the thing about the media, again, you can see it, right? It's all about what you can see versus what you can't see. You know, I can see Fox News, I can see MSNBC, I can see the New York Times, and I can say, you know what, I'm not into that. I don't like that, or I do like that. There's confirmation bias that kicks in when you see these things. With Google and Facebook, you just don't know. You don't see what you don't see. If I search for something, right, am I getting all of the options, or am I only getting the options that they show me? And with the Google search engine, we are conditioned to think that the things at the top and the first things that come up are true and they are the best, right? But again, they are making a decision about what comes up at the top of the search. This is just the search, right? This is just your daily, everyday, you know, where should I go for dinner? And what comes up at the top is where they suggest you should go. And do you go to page 2 or 3? Probably not. You probably don't even go to the bottom of the page. And this is the conditioning we're in. So with the media, you know, you at least know what you're reading. You have an author who signs the article and you know these things. With Google and Facebook, you just don't know. And that's what makes it so dangerous. Because if they do have a worldview, if they do have a utopian perspective, and they say, you know what? We don't like these people. We're just not going to feature them. They'll never come up. They'll just disappear. They're disappeared. It's much more effective than rounding people up, because we've been conditioned to think that if it's not there, it just doesn't exist.
And speaking of creepy, the last year or so, Matthew, you've seen a tremendous number of instances in which conservative organizations have lost their accounts with YouTube or what have you. It seems like I've seen, I don't know, perhaps hundreds of these examples. That's creepy. I mean, were they censoring conservatives from these organizations? Is that going to increase, do you think, in the near future?
Well, you know, as we've seen with the recent leaks, that Google has said, you know, they're the good censor. They believe they should be the arbiter of speech for what is and what is not available. You know, this is not just fundamentally against the, you know, tenets of this country, but this is something that is very dangerous, because this can extend to anything. You know, what if they view you as you know what we don't like? We don't like people who eat ice cream. I know that sounds insane, but the thing is that these are the kinds of things that they can control. And will we see more conservatives banned and demonetized? Why not? We are in a very tense climate where there is a battle for votes and for democracy, and these companies view themselves as having the power to pick candidates, to lobby the government, to push the political debate in whatever direction they want. And if you are on the wrong side of that debate, you're out.
Matthew, in all the interviews you did as you directed the creepy line, what was your biggest takeaway? What was the thing that sort of knocked your socks off that you'd like to communicate to the listening audience?
Well, you know, in the film, we go through a variety of things about you know, privacy and kind of the issues that we hear about. Some of the more terrifying things were how Facebook manipulates children. That was a story that we covered, where Facebook was showing negative news stories. It could identify depressed teenagers and show them negative news stories to see how they would react. And in some instances, these teenagers committed harm to themselves or others. And so that is a despicable and unethical use of your platform and the use of your customers' data. So that was one thing I thought was very, very dangerous. And anything, this is not a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. They did this. This is a real thing that they did to their customers. And then, of course, the other major point that's made in the film is how Google was involved in trying to sway the 2016 election. Right. And Dr. Robert Epstein, who's the backbone of the research in our film, had tracked Google for a little over 6 months during the election without them knowing, and found that there was extreme bias towards one candidate over the other. And unlike usual, where those autofills and things are not saved, he saved all of that stuff. He saved all of the autofills, all of the returns, and he could compute bias. And he said it was extreme. And then a couple of days after the election, the bias disappeared. So this is an example of what they're capable of. And while they did not succeed in their goals in 2016, they will make more efforts to succeed next time. If not, I think Dr. Robert Epstein said that in the next, you know, this election coming up in a week or so, they could move 12 million votes without anybody knowing.
It's scary because human nature is such that we could wind up with something like the Nazi Holocaust and the horror that came through the Soviet gulags and all the rest. It's not as if humanity is past that. Hey, that just happened, 60, 80 years ago. It can happen here. And I think some of the examples you've given, Matthew, are reminiscent of the Nazis and the Soviets and some of the experiments they conducted. But of course, they didn't have such powerful technology at their fingertips as we do today. I remember walking through the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. Don't know if you've ever been there, but there were examples of the first basic computer machines where they were keeping track of all of the Jews and preparing for the Holocaust. So I got to thinking, you know, that technology is nothing compared to the powerful technologies available today that could be used in a very, very horrific way if it falls into the wrong hands. So, you know, I think what you're looking at here is a much more powerful potential to bring about a much more terrible evil on the world than what we saw in the 20th century. So, I mean, your take on that?
I mean, look, we have Project Dragonfly in China, right? We have Google has, you know, for a long time, they took a hard stance on China and their censorship. And now they've done they've turned it around and they're building a censorship machine that works with the Chinese government, which is a very, you know, hard regime, you know? And so I think that they have compromised even their kind of progressive principles for something else. And obviously they defended the project and they defended the censorship. They defended the tracking of people. They defended all of these things. And so again, it's one of those things where by itself, this technology is really amazing. They've done great things in the past by bringing information to people and linking people together, but in the wrong hands, you know, it is very dangerous. Mm. It is very dangerous to have, you know, trackers on everybody all the time, having all of our information sucked up to where and who, you know, gets this information. Who do they sell it to? And again, you know, as I said earlier, they sell it to advertisers, sure, but they also sell it to governments and then law enforcement as well. So, you know, there's a lot of overstepping of the creepy line. There's a lot of kind of like nasty, gnarly, dark details to the underbelly of the organizations. And so, again, we are in the very early stages of even understanding what they're up to. And they're in the early stages of understanding, you know, the technologies they're building. I mean, they're building AI. And they're working in all these kind of pet projects. You know, they don't know what they're building. They're experimenting, and who knows what they're going to make, you know? And so usually it's a good thing, but you know, their intentions, the people who build it and wield it, are really, you know, could be bad.
Folks are going to have to watch the documentary in order to get the whole story on this. It's called The Creepy Line, available on iTunes and Amazon. But before we're gone, Matthew, one last question. What's the solution to all of this? Is there any way we can stay on the right side of the creepy line?
Well, there are not many avenues, unfortunately, at this point, because, again, we opted in. We signed up, like you said, 44% of emails.
Yep.
You have to stop using the products. That's the very first stage, right? Now, there's really no way around Google search because they control 90% of that market. But don't use Gmail. Don't use Android. Don't use Google Maps. You know, don't use Facebook. Don't use these products because, remember, they don't work without our data. They don't work without our interaction. So every time you interact with them, they are collecting and we are fueling them. And so that is the first stage of defense. You know, don't post your kids' photos on Facebook. They own those photos. They keep those photos. You'll never, ever get them back. And so, you know, that is really kind of the beginning of the solution. And currently, you know, we have to hope that our elected officials make the right decision. But again, Google lobbies, you know, pretty hard on the Hill. And so it's very difficult to leave it in the hands of the government. So us as users are going to have to speak with our usage and with our wallet.
Matthew Taylor on this edition of the Generations Broadcast, Food for Thought. And this is indeed an eye-opening film, a critical film for the day. Be sure to catch it on iTunes or Amazon. It's called The Creepy Line. And I want to thank you, Matthew, for joining us on the Generations Broadcast.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.